I could sit. Is that okay?
Yeah, whatever I'm more comfortable for you.
Okay, so welcome back, everybody. We're happy to be here. Is this your water?
That's for you.
Thank you. So there was some confusion about what this week's Parsha is, so let's just get that out of the way. This week's Parsha in America is Parshas Bechukosai. In Eretz Yisrael, it happens to be Parshas Bamidbar, and that is a very, very interesting question as to why are we not on the same page yet? Why don't we read the same Parsha as they read in Eretz Yisrael? I don't even know what the answer is.
Is it because Pesach was the only people on days, so then they had Shabbos, we had Pesach?
So that is why we're a Parsha off. They're ahead of us, but the question is, why have we not yet caught up? We had an opportunity to catch up a few times already, and yet we did not. So that's a very interesting question that we need to ask. By the way, somebody called me on Sunday with a very fascinating question. It seems that the summer season has already begun, and families from our neighborhood have already gone to the mountains. So last Shabbos, there were a number of families that went up to their community, to their bungalow colony, and there was some kind of misunderstanding as to what should be done. Who's going to bring the Sefer Torah? And every family thought that somebody else was going to bring it. Then, is right, it comes Shabbos morning, and they realize that nobody brought the Sefer Torah. So what do you do then? Read it from a Chumash. Any other takers? What do we do then? Yes?
Well, there's people who live there all year round, so probably somewhere there. I don't know if they're too far to walk.
Well, I assume they considered that possibility and they didn't come up with anything. So now that you have no Sefer Torah, what is one supposed to do? So the answer really is that you're supposed to read from a Chumash. However, you can't read the normal way that we normally read a Parsha. You can't call up a number of people for Aliyah. So you just read the regular Chumash as is. What would happen if you read from a Chumash last week? What happens the following week? So the answer is that the next week, if there's a whole community that missed the Parsha and they only read from a Chumash, the next week they have to make it up by reading two Parshios in a row. So it's going to come this Shabbos. It's going to be a very long davening. Don't go there, Leah. But they're going to have this Shabbos an opportunity to lay not only Parshas Bechukosai, which is this week, but also they have to make up what they missed last week. So they have to read two Parshios this coming Shabbos. What would happen if that would be the case this week? What if Parshas Bechukosai, they had no Sefer Torah, and only next week, Parshas Bamidbar, they were able to get one? What would you say? What? So I would have said that you should do the same thing. You should just read two Parshios next week, Bechukosai and Bamidbar. And the answer to that is no. Even though we sometimes need to make up a Parsha, that is only when the two Parshios are one after the other. But if it's one safer to the next, then we would assume that there is no makeup. And if you miss it, you miss it, and the following week you read just the new Sefer. So let us begin Parshas Bechukosai. Here in America, that is what we read this week. And in Eretz Yisrael, as we said, they're going to already be reading Parshas Bamidbar this week. So let's begin with the very first words of the Parsha. Im Bechukosai Teilechu. That's a very curious term. What does it mean, Im Bechukosai Teilechu? What does it mean to walk with the Chukim? We know there are many different kinds of mitzvot. Some are chukim, some are mishpatim. But what does it mean that you're supposed to walk with the mitzvot? I'm sorry, I'm in your way. So what does it mean that one is supposed to walk with the mitzvot? That is actually a very good question. And we turn to the Navi Zechariah. The Navi Zechariah draws a contrast between the life and the existence of human beings and the life and the existence of Malachei Hasharis. What is the major distinction that you can come up with between the lives that we live as human beings here on this earth, and the lives that angels live? Now, there are some very simple answers we can give. One is that we live down here, and malachim, angels, seem to live in a different realm, in a different world. But that is not the major distinction that the Navi Zechariah draws upon. Anybody know what that is? Yeah?
They don't have any mitzvah, they're just perfect.
So
we aren't perfect.
So let's just qualify that statement a little bit. You're right, they don't have any mitzvos, they are perfect. They are always told exactly what to do, and they have no bechira. Part of the greatness of human beings is that we are given choices, and we always have the opportunity to choose. And that means that everything in life is always going to be left up to our choices. This is why we have a concept of tshuva. How can we do tshuva? The answer is because if we made the decision in the first place to do something wrong, we also have the ability to make the decision to do something right, and to figure out how to undo the wrong that we have created. So this is what the experience of a human being is, that we all have the opportunity to make choices. Malachim, on the other hand, don't have that opportunity. The Ribono Shel Olam tells them exactly what to do, and that is what they do. They don't have a challenge, they don't have a Yetzer Hara, they don't have Bechira, they don't have choices. So the way the Navi describes this is, V'nasati mehalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. Anyone ever heard that pasuk before? We actually read it in the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah. V'nasati mehalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. And that is the Navi Zechariah explaining the difference between human beings and Malachi Hasharis. What is the major difference? That we are called Mahalchim. Human beings are always in motion. We are always in flux. And things always change. And we always have the opportunity to reprogram ourselves and to reconsider. And we may have made a mistake, but we have an opportunity to do tshuva. And we're in a constant cycle. Things keep on moving. Our lives are always in motion. A Malach, on the other hand, is referred to as an Omed. They are referred to as a stationary being. They are a creation that has no Bechira, that is given no choices, that has no obstacles. The Ribono Shel Olam asks Malachim to do something, they do it. And there is no question asked, and there is no difficulty in the job that they are expected to do either. We say it every day in our Psukei Dezimra. Yahalelu Eshem Hashem, Ki Hu Tziva V'Nivra'u. Right? The Malachi Hashares will praise Hashem because He created and He is the one who made them. Vayamidem la'ad li'olam. But they are omdim. They are there. They're stuck forever. So the Malach Gavriel is the Malach Gavriel. The same way he was created is the way he will always be. The Malach Eliyahu Hanavi and the Malach Michael and all the other Malachim that we speak about are who they are. Vayamidem la'ad li'olam. They are stagnant. They are stationary. They are one being that has no change, that has no transformation. Life remains the same for them. But for us, it's im b'chukosai teleichu. That's what it means. That's our experience. If you turn to Parshas Acharei Mos, just a few weeks ago in Sefer Vayikra, there we are told as well, as Mishpatai Ta'asu, Ve'as Chukosai Tishmeru, Hashem tells us that we have an obligation to follow the laws of the Torah, La'leches Bahem Ani Hashem. Hashem says, I want you to follow the laws of the Torah, La'leches Bahem means to continuously be in a state of motion. And our relationship with Hashem always changes because we always have the opportunity to make those choices in the lives that we live. So there's an amazing pasuk at the very end of the Torah where we're told, Moshe Rabbeinu, how old was he when he passed away? So the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the last day of his life, says, Ben Mea Ve'esrim Shana Onochi Hayom. Today, I'm 120 years old. And Moshe Rabbeinu bemoans the fact, Lo Uchal Od, Latseis V'Lavo. What does that mean? Lo Uchal Od means?
Anymore.
I'm no longer able. Latseis v'lavo means
to come and go.
So the Gemara has difficulty understanding. What does it mean, lo uchal od latseis v'lavo? We're told that Moshe Rabbeinu was very strong, like we're told. Lo nas lecho, he didn't become old. Moshe Rabbeinu was strong till his very last day. So what does it mean, lo uchal od latseis v'lavo? And some of Farshim explained what it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu realized, I have no more left that I can grow in this life. I have done everything to the maximum. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked me to do has been done, and there's nothing more that I can do. There's no more challenge. There's no more growth. I have hit the pinnacle of my existence. I've hit the edge. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu says, of what worth is life when a person can't do anything anymore? When, yes, it's true that I'm strong, and I can go, and I can come, and I can have all kinds of experiences, but that's not the value of life. When life becomes valuable is when a person understands that I am always given the opportunity to challenge myself and to reconsider my own life and to make those decisions and to struggle with whatever it is that I'm confronted with. That, says Moshe Rabbeinu, if that ability is taken away from me, life is just simply not worth living anymore, because that really is what life is all about. And this, writes Rav Schwab, is what we mean when we say, Vayisu Mehar Sinai. The Torah says that after we were given the Torah, we traveled from Har Sinai. Now, obviously, we traveled. We weren't going to stay at Har Sinai forever. But the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, "Vayisu mehar Sinai" means "Ketinok haboreach mibeis haSefer." Like we were so excited to get out of school, we ran away from Har Sinai. Says Rav Schwab, that was the problem. It wasn't just the disrespect—the fact that we ran away the moment the experience was over. It was the fact that our perspective was one that we felt there's nothing more to learn. We got the Torah. We know it all. We've come to the complete experience now, and now ready to move on. We don't have anything more that we need to learn here. That, says Rav Schwab, was the problem. And that really is what we always think about as Jews. Im b'chuko sai telechu. It's not enough to keep the mitzvos or to think about the mitzvos. It's that we always need to realize that we are in a perpetual state of motion, that we're always moving, and that is really what the definition of a human being is supposed to be all about. So every night in our davening, we say, for those who daven ma'ariv here, I don't know what the practice is, what is the minhag, girls daven ma'ariv or they don't. It's a good idea if you have time, but we say every night in the davening a paragraph that we refer to as Hashkivenu. And in Hashkivenu, we mention a tefillah. V'haser satan milfaneinu, ume acharenu. We ask Hashem to take away the satan from in front of us and from behind us. What exactly are we referring to? So some suggest what it means is, V'haser satan milfaneinu is what we think it means. Every time we are confronted with something that we're supposed to do, we always have some kind of negative edge that tries to pull us in the other direction. So that's what we ask for Hasar Satan Milafanenu. Take away the evil inclination that makes us want to do the wrong thing. Before we do the mitzvah, make sure you remove all of that. But then we ask a second request, and that is Me'acharenu. After we do a mitzvah, you ever have this feeling? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Aser Yimei Tshuva is a very intense time of year. And if you ever go to Slichos, I don't know if you ever go to Slichos, but some people go at least the first night of Slichos and you're exhausted and you're going out of your way and it's so much tefillah and Rosh Hashanah is 2 days of davening straight and you don't get to eat till later in the afternoon. Ever have that feeling once Yom Kippur is over and you finally hear Hashem Hu Elokim, it's like, okay, we're done. I'm just on cruise for now and I'm happy that this experience is over. A lot of people have such a feeling. And that's what we ask, V'hasr satan me'acharin. Sometimes we have a feeling after we perform a mitzvah that, you know, I've done enough and I've invested so much of myself and so much of my time and so much energy, and now I've done enough. I've made the Ribono Shel Olam happy and there's no reason for me to work anymore. Now I'm just going to be on cruise. That's what we ask for, V'hasr satan milfaneinu, that we should never feel that our stages of growth, that our movement, that our im b'chuko sai telechu is something that ever comes to a stop. So there's a very interesting pasuk where we're told, Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich. So we're all familiar with those words, but what exactly do they mean? Anybody knows what those words mean? Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich avas kelulosayich. What does that mean? Anyone know who's talking there? What's it a reference to? What are we describing in that pasuk? Any takers? Any guesses? No? Okay, so what the Torah refers to there is, at the end of days, Hashem says, Zacharti lach chesed ne'urayach. I remember, chesed ne'urayach means the great action, the great chesed, the great kindness of the Jewish people from so many years ago, from ne'urayach, when you were a young nation. Avas kelulosayach, and because of that, you are the beloved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are my beloved children. So I would say, in the end of days, when Hashem will come to the Jewish people and say, you know, I love you. Why is there a reason for Hashem to love us? What would you say? Why should He love us? It's not a trick. This is a simple question.
Us?
What?
He created us.
He created us, but he created the entire world. He
chose us.
Okay. So if you're going to say, after a few thousand years of galus, Hashem says, you know, if I was able to zero in on one aspect of why it is that I love the Jewish people, what would it be? What would you say?
We're His children.
We're His children.
We spend our lives serving Him.
We spend our lives serving Him. Okay. Any other takers? You had an idea?
Oh, I was going to say that if you do mitzvahs, like, even though like we always need to keep following Him.
So that's what I would have said. I would have said, after, let's say, in recent history, we went through a Holocaust, and we had all the reasons in the world to just say, you know what, forget it. What does being a Jew do good for any of us? Look what happens. And we could have just gotten rid of the religion as many people did, and yet we still hung on, and yet we still believe in God, and we still think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, and we still say Ani Mamins every day of our lives. That's the reason why you should love us, but that's not what the Torah says. You know why I love you, says Hashem? Zacharti lach chesed nu'urayich. I will never forget what happened when you were a young nation. And what was that? Lechtech acharai bamidbar be'eretz lo zerua. That when I brought you into the midbar, as we're about to start, bamidbar here, when I brought you traveling through the desert, through the midbar, you decided to follow me. Now let me ask you. Number one, don't we have much better reasons why Hashem should love us? Everybody said great ideas, either because we do mitzvahs, or because we're the chosen people, or because we hung on for the ride all these years and we haven't given up yet. We have many, many good reasons why Hashem should love us, and yet we say it's because we traveled after Hashem when He instructed us to go into the midbar. That's why He loves us over thousands of years. That's all He can think of. Question number one. Question number two is, did we have any other choice? So here we were, we left Mitzrayim. We came through the Yam Suf. We look behind us and the Yam Suf closes up. All the Egyptians are dead. And now Hashem says, well, we got to start traveling. So we followed. What choice did we have? Where else were we going to go? Was there an option? Doesn't seem that there was any other better option. So why does He love us so much for that? The Shemi Shmuel writes that perhaps the understanding can be as follows. You know what it means? Lechtech acharai bamidbar. After you saw how close you can be with Hashem, after you got to the highest of highs, the Gemara says at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, even the simplest person who was with the Jewish people had the incredible nevuah, had unbelievable revelation. They were able to understand and connect with Hashem, even if you were a simple person. You didn't have to be from the great Nevi'im. And even after all that, you were still willing to be lechtech acharai bamidbar. You still said, you know, let's keep on walking, let's keep on growing, we're going to keep on developing our relationship with Hashem, even after all that we've seen and experienced. That, says Hashem, is why I love the Jewish people. Because they always understand that life is about growing, that life is about walking, that life is about moving. And they are always willing to grow more and more, even if they have experienced the greatest revelation that any people has ever seen by Kriyas Yamsuf. And they were so connected to Hashem on that moment of their lives, they were still willing to say after that, Lechtech acharai bamidbar. We're still going to be in a perpetual state of motion. We're always going to be moving. And that is what the Torah instructs us here in this pasuk. Im b'chukosai teilechu, that Hashem expects of us to always be moving and to always keep that relationship going, that whatever we feel we may have accomplished is never enough. So you're winding down the year, and I'm sure many of you have had great accomplishments over the course of the year. And the question is, how do we look at ourselves after we have those great milestones in our lives? What is the next step? What do we do now? We have an option to say, you know what? I'm making it through school, I have great friends, life is perfect, life is great. Let me just keep things status quo. Let me keep them the way they are. That's one option that we all have. Option B is a person can say, look how successful I have been, look how many milestones I have reached. I want to make myself reach even further milestones. I want to further develop my education. I want to further develop my connection with Hashem. I want to further develop my understanding of His Torah and mitzvahs. I have so many opportunities ahead of myself in life. And it doesn't matter what it is that I've accomplished until this point, I always have the chance to continue to be im b'chukosai teilechu, to continue walking, to continue traveling. Lechtech acharai bamidbar, that I always understand that I can move together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and become closer to Him because I am not a malach, I am not an omed, I was not created the way I am, I have developed myself to a point where I became this, and I've had many, many accomplishments, and I only want to further those accomplishments and continue to perfect my life and make it more meaningful. So we turn a few psukim later in the Torah, in Parshas Bechukosai, and here we're told the following. V'hisalachti besochachem. Hashem says that He will walk in our midst. V'hayisi lachem lelokim, v'atem tiyu li la'am. Hashem will travel with us, and because of that, He will be our God, v'atem tiyu li la'am, and you have to agree on your part to be the nation that goes along with this. So, there's a very interesting Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says the following. Have a mispala b'shloma shel malchus. We're told that we should daven b'shloma shel malchus. What does that mean? B'shloma shel malchus simply translated means We should always daven that, let's say here we live in America, we should daven that the malchus, that the kingdom that we live under, should be complete and there should be peace. Why? Because it's important to us, because we live here. So if you go to shul on Shabbos, you'll notice that we make a tefillah for the American government. Why do we do that? Because if they're not safe, then we're not safe. And therefore we have to go out of our way to daven on behalf of the malchus, of wherever it is that we live. She'omale mora, because if people are not going to be afraid of the authority, ish esre'eu chayim balo. Did you ever read or did you ever see something about a community where there's a blackout? About a community where there's no electricity for whatever reason? Electric wire gets knocked down. Therefore, many of the alarm systems are down. And because of that, there's terrible, there's tremendous looting. Why is that? Why does that happen? It happens because no one's afraid. I know that nobody can call the police. There are no phone lines. There's no communication. There's no electronics. Nobody can get me in trouble, so I'll do whatever I want. So says the Mishnah, if we don't daven that there should be a fear of our malchus, of our police force, of our government, if people aren't going to be respectful of that, then ish esre'eu chayim balo, then life is just going to fall apart. We're not going to have a society because people are going to be stealing from each other, people are going to be killing each other, and nobody's going to ever feel that they're accountable to a higher authority because they have no respect for the authority at all. So one of the Mefarshim writes, actually on this week's Parsha, he says, perhaps what it means is something even more than that. It doesn't just mean we should daven for the malchus, but it means when we talk about our relationship with Hashem, like we see here, so we have this duality. We have Avinu and Malkeinu. We have sometimes a tension. On the one hand, Hashem is Avinu Avarachaman. He's our loving Father. And we have a very close and intimate relationship with Him. At the same time, we also consider Him to be Malkeinu. He's also our King. And we need to live in fear and in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we do that? Reb Shimshon Pinkus has an amazing story. It's not here on the Parsha, but it's an unbelievable story. He says that one year on Purim, he dressed up as a big polar bear. And his young son was 2 or 3 years old. He walked into the room, and he was so scared. He saw there's a polar bear in the room, and he didn't realize that it was fake, and he was so afraid. And then his mother tells him, why are you crying? This is Abba, this is Daddy. You shouldn't be afraid of him, he's just dressed up. So he goes over to his father's leg, and he grabs the leg, and he says, Abba, save me, there's a bear in the room. And Reb Shimshon Pinkus said, when that happened to him, he finally understood what it means, Avinu Malkeinu. My son was looking at me. He's afraid that there's a bear in the room, there's something scary in front of him, but he always knows that you can hold on to that scary entity because that is also your father. That is what we have, the tension between Avinu and Malkeinu. We always have to strike the perfect balance between those two. So here we come to the pasuk in our parsha. V'yishalachti b'sochachem. The Torah says that Hashem promises us He will walk in our midst, and He will be a part of our community. But v'hayisi lachem le'lokim. Don't ever forget that as much as Hashem is a part of our lives, we always need to remember that He is also Elokim. That He is also the one that we need to be in fear and in awe of. And we cannot just take it simply. That, say some of the Mefarshim, is what we mean when we say that we have to be mispalel b'shloma shel malchus. We need to daven that Hashem's malchus should be complete, that it should have both of these components. On the one hand, we should feel Avinu all the time. On the other hand, we should always feel Malkeinu. We should always strike that balance between being appropriate in the way that we treat our Father. On the one hand, having a loving and caring relationship with Him. On the other hand, always understanding and remembering that He is also Malkeinu, that He is our King, that He is our God, and that we need to live with a certain degree of fear to make sure that we do everything right the way He expects us to do it. So here we get into the later psukim in the Parsha, and that is the Tochacha. And here, things become very difficult. And Hashem tells us, if you will not listen to the instructions that I give you, if you will not follow the mitzvah HaTorah, there are many terrible curses that will come upon the Jewish people. One of them, in Pasuk Yutes, Perek Chavav, we're told, V'shavarti es Gaon Uschem. Hashem says, I will break, I will destroy Gaon Uschem. What does Gaon Uschem mean? It means your pride and your joy. Everything that your community is all about, I will destroy. What does that mean? What is that a reference to? Any takers who haven't yet spoken up? V'shavarti es ga'on uschem, Hashem says, part of the curse is going to be, I will break your pride and your joy. What is the pride and joy of the Jewish people? Is it our homes? I will break Hashem. Right? So Hashem is telling us he's going to break something. He's not going to break himself. So what is that? What will he destroy? Yeah?
Our community.
Our community is part of the pride and joy, but you can say your pride and joy is your community. Someone else's pride and joy is their community. So what does it mean? Ga'on uschem. Your collective pride and joy. What is the collective pride and joy of the Jewish people? Your family is a pride and joy of you, but it's not the pride and joy of everybody else. The Torah. Now, if you say that the pride and joy here is a reference to the Torah, how can the Jewish people actually survive without the Torah? So Hashem can't possibly destroy the Torah. Then there's just no Jewish people. So Rashi here on Chumash tells us, Vishavarti es ga'on uschem is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. That's a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, which means we always need to remember that the pride and joy of the Jewish people is the Beis HaMikdash. And it's hard for us today in our community in Galus, when we've been so far removed from an experience of what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash, it's hard for us to understand when we say, what is the pride and joy of the Jewish people? Nobody in the room suggested Beis HaMikdash. And that's so unfortunate. It's unfortunate because that's what we daven for more times a day than anything else. We daven that we should return to Yerushalayim, we should come back to Eretz Yisrael, v'sechazena einenu, es tzemach David avdecha, v'li Yerushalayim ircha, ani mamin be'emun ha'shleima. We say it so many times throughout our davening. And we ask that we come back to an experience of Beis HaMikdash, of Yerushalayim, of knowing what it means to have the presence of the Shechina back in our lives. V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham. Moshe Rabbeinu is told in the very beginning when he's instructed to build a Mishkan, you should build a Mishkan, and if you do that, I will then have the opportunity to come back and be a part of the Jewish community. And therefore the Torah says here, one of the worst curses of them all is when a Jewish community loses Ga'on uschem, their pride and joy. What is the pride and joy of the Jewish people? Yes, our families are very important. Our communities are certainly very important. Our shuls are important. Our schools are important. But the most important thing that really needs to be on the forefront of our minds is the Beis HaMikdash. And too often we forget about it. Too often we forget about it. And we don't focus on what it is that we need to be looking forward to. So let me ask you. We daven every day for the coming of Mashiach. We daven every day that we should go back to Eretz Yisrael. We should once again have an experience in Yerushalayim. We should have a Beis HaMikdash. It's something that's important to the Jewish people. What is your vision of the times of Mashiach? What do you think will happen when Mashiach comes? Why do you look forward to it? Yes. We haven't heard from you yet. Yeah. So that's pretty amazing. You're saying that there's going to be no more wars and we will all be living perfect lives. No one's going to get sick anymore. So we won't have hospitals. We won't have doctors.
No, I guess.
Right? That's what it sounds like.
I guess we won't need jobs.
We won't need jobs. So what are we going to do all day? We're all going to be learning Torah all day. Is that what everybody in this room wants to do?
No,
we already do.
You seem very excited about it, yeah? Yeah?
I think just, like, not having any, like, pain or, like, any... You don't have to worry about anything, really. You just kind of, like... You don't have to worry about anyone, like, dying, getting sick. You don't have to worry about wars, anything. So it's, like...
So we daven for Mashiach because then life is just going to be perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah?
Like, there'll be, like, recognition of who's the true God and, like...
Clarity.
Yeah, clarity and, like... Like, understanding about how things work and, like, yeah.
Amazing. Okay. So this is a very important question. So the Navi addresses the question, but let me just preface it by a mashal of the Dumna Magid. Dumna Magid says, everybody in the room has been to a wedding once in their lives, yeah. I assume? So the Dumna Magid says, imagine to yourself that you've never attended a wedding. You have no idea what it is. You happen to be a young child walking down the street, and you hear there's a lot of noise coming from an auditorium somewhere, coming from a hall. So you walk inside and you see there's hundreds of people there, everybody's sitting down, and there's a long aisle. And then at the end of the aisle, there's only two people standing up underneath this canopy, and you have no idea what you're looking at. Say, hey, look, everybody seems to be quiet. Maybe I'll just walk up the aisle, ask those two people who are standing there, what's going on here? What's happening? So you walk up, and you see one of them happens to be a male, one of them happens to be a female. So you say, let me ask both of them what's going on. So you go up to the man, and you say to him, you know, you seem really excited today. You seem really happy. You're smiling. Your face is shining. I'm just curious, what's happening here? Why are you so happy? What's happening today? And he responds to you, why am I excited? Do you not know what's going on here? And you say, I've never seen anything like this. I really have no idea what's happening here. And he turns to you and he says, well, don't you see? I have a brand new tuxedo. I have a brand new pair of shoes. And I just feel like $1 million. It's amazing to be in all this new clothing, and I'm wearing a new brand new watch and cufflinks and everything, the gold and the silver and everything I have. It's an amazing feeling. Of course I'm excited. Okay. So then he turns to the Kala, not knowing that she has anything to do with this man. And he turns to her and he says, you know, I'm just curious. You also look really excited. Your face is shining and you look beautiful. I'm just curious. Why are you so happy? What are you so excited about? What exactly is going on here? So the Kala says back to him, I guess you don't know what's happening here. He says, I've never seen anything like this scene in my life. Maybe you can explain it to me. So the Kala says, yeah, I can explain it to you. I got my makeup done this morning. I've never gotten my makeup professionally done. I'm wearing earrings that are more expensive than any piece of jewelry I've worn before. I'm wearing a gown that makes me look beautiful. I feel amazing. I feel amazing. Of course I'm excited. Why wouldn't I be excited? What would you say about such a marriage?
It's not going to last.
Not going to last too long. They probably won't even make it through that night. What kind of couple is this? The husband and the wife, all they can think about is not the fact that we're so excited that we're going to be living with each other and we're going to have children and we're going to build a family and life's going to be amazing and we're going to build this house and all their dreams and everything that they want to think about and all that they want to accomplish together. None of that comes to their minds when they try to explain to someone what a wedding is all about. The only thing you can think about is, you know, I'm excited because I'm wearing beautiful earrings and I have a beautiful gown and I just feel amazing and I got my makeup done this morning. Is that really what a wedding is all about? Is that what a marriage is supposed to be all about?
No.
Obviously not. Says the Dubna Magid, that, as silly as the story sounds, that is exactly the way we sound when we are asked this question. Why do we want Mashiach to come? Why do we want to come back to Eretz Yisrael? A very important question. Part of the Tochacha in this week's Parsha Mechukosai is, I'm going to destroy the most important thing in the Jewish community, and that is the Beis HaMikdash. So now we all have to daven that we should get back to that place. Why is it important to us? So we all said, because life is going to be perfect. Because we're not going to have to work anymore. Is that really what it's all about?
No.
Says the Navi, Soz Asiz Bahashem. The reason why I'm excited to have a Geula, the reason why I'm excited to be in the Beis HaMikdash again, is because that will be the opportunity to once again celebrate with Hashem, with my beloved partner. Like the Chassan and Kala need to understand, the reason why they're excited is not because of the shoes, and not because of the gown, and not because of the tuxedo, and not because of the earrings and the makeup and everything else, but rather because we are so excited to be united with each other, and we are so excited to live the rest of our lives together. That is why we're happy. It just so happens to be, we wear beautiful clothing, and we get our makeup done, and we wear earrings, and we wear jewelry, and all kinds of wonderful things that we otherwise wouldn't wear. That's a part of it, but that's not the main issue. And therefore the Navi says, never forget why it is that it's important to think about a Geula. What is it that we want in a Geula? What are we davening for? Why is it important to the Jewish community all over the world that we once again come back to Eretz Yisrael and have a Beis HaMikdash? Because that will be the opportunity, Soz Asiz BaHashem. That will be our chance to once again celebrate with Hashem. Are people going to be sick anymore? I have no idea. The Rambam says, Olam kiminhago noeg. I'm sorry for the downer. The Rambam says, the world will go on the same way it's been going. So maybe there will be things, and again, I have no understanding of what exactly will happen. One thing I do know is, the Ribono Shel Olam will certainly be back into our lives so much more than he is now, today, in Golus. That's why we're excited. because we'll be married once again to our God, to our partner, who we love so much and who we're supposed to think about all the time. But because we're in Galus and because we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we get so distracted and we don't think about it enough. So this is really what it means here. And this is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of all of us to think about. So the Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash writes the following in Eicha. Yitzchak has a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzchak Avinu. And he turns to Hashem and he says, you know, you're going to send the Jewish people into Galus? When are you going to take them back? How many years are they going to be stuck in Galus? Listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Ribono Shel Olam, Shema Ein Chazara Lebanim. Maybe the Jewish people will be stuck there forever and they will never come back to the land of Eretz Yisrael. Can that be? Is that what's going to happen? And Hashem says to him, Al Tomar Kach. Don't you dare ever say such a thing. That's unacceptable. Yesh Dor Shehu Mitzapi LeMalchusi Miyad Heim Nigalim. If there will be a generation that will anticipate my re-entering into their lives, my Malchus, my being a major part of what their lives are all about, then Miyad Heim Nigalim. I will reveal myself immediately if there will be a Jewish community that is sincerely interested in the coming of Mashiach. So one final story, we have 2 minutes left. Anyone here ever heard of the great Beis HaLevi? Anyone heard of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik?
Yeah.
So Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's father was the Beis HaLevi. And earlier in his career, he was living in Warsaw. And then one fine day, a delegation comes to him from the city of Brisk. It was a very prominent community in Europe. And they come to him and they request that he become the new rabbi of the town, of Brisk. And they want him to move his whole family. And he was a very simple, humble man. And he said, you know, as much as you want it, I just don't feel I'm right for the job. I don't feel that it's appropriate for me to move my family. I'd rather just stay where I am. I'm a simple person here. I don't really want to move to Brisk. And they try negotiating with him. Nothing's working. Finally, they turn to him and they say, do you know that we are here as a delegation representative of 10,000 Jews in the city of Brisk who have asked us to come and offer you the position. Are you ready to say no to 10,000 Jews who really want you? And the Beis HaLevi said, if that's really true that 10,000 Jews are asking something, what right does any human being have to say no? And it doesn't matter how difficult it is, it doesn't matter how much I don't want to do it, if 10,000 people sincerely want it, there's no way that I can ever say no to such a request. The Chafetz Chaim, a number of years later, heard the story. And the Chafetz Chaim started to cry. If the Beis HaLevi, said the Chafetz Chaim, could not hold back from doing what 10,000 people had sincerely asked him to do, do you believe that if 10,000 Jews sincerely asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring the Geula, do you think he is not as kind and benevolent as the Beis HaLevi? Do you think he would ever say no? Do you think he would deny us of that request if we sincerely asked for it? Said the Chafetz Chaim, it's clear from that story of the Beis HaLevi, when 10,000 people ask for something, you can't say no. And from there he learned, if only 10,000 Jews would stand up with sincerity every day and daven the Shemona Esrei, and really think about the words that they're saying, and really consider what it would mean to be in Eretz Yisrael again with a Beis HaMikdash, reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, there is no way that the Ribono Shel Olam would ever say no. That's what we think about when we read this Parsha. And we talk about, number one, the fact that Im Chukosai Teilecho, we are always in a perpetual state of motion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are always connected to Him. We are always moving. We are always people who are redeveloping and reconnecting ourselves with the Ribono Shel Olam in new ways that we've never found before. We then go further on in the Parsha, and Hashem promises us, V'hishalachti b'sochachem, I will be a major part of your life, but don't ever forget, V'hayisi lachem le'lokim. As much as you feel close to me, and as much as I am your father, we always have that tension of Avinu on the one hand, Malkeinu on the other hand. Heve mispalo b'shloma shel malchus. You need to have the completion of what it means to be connected with Hashem. And finally, when Hashem says, V'shavarti as ga'on uschem, I will destroy your Beis HaMikdash, this is what we need to daven for, that we once again be returned to our Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, to that city that we daven so much to be a part of, and that experience that we so much want to be, not because then life will be perfect. Not because nobody will ever be sick. Maybe that's all true. But the reason why we want it is because Sos Asis BaHashem. Because we will be able to celebrate and be reunited once again with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. I wish all of you so much success and a wonderful Shabbos up ahead. My pleasure.